Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. Few EU presidencies have rocked the bloc as much as the current one held by Hungary. European leaders, many MEPs and EU commissioners were rattled by what Prime Minister Viktor Orbán called his peace mission in July, which included a meeting with President Zelensky of Ukraine, but also with Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping and Donald Trump. At the beginning of this month, several European governments publicly questioned whether the Hungarian leadership was respecting European values. And now, of course, a row continues between Brussels and Budapest on the issue of migrants. Well, Hungary's rotating presidency is roughly halfway in, and it seemed like the right time to take stock of where we stand. So I'm joined for this debate by András László, an MEP from Patriots for Europe, who's a member of Mr. Orbán's governing party, Fidesz, and by Chloé Ridel, a French MEP from the Socialists and Democrats. Both of them sit on the Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs, and the Subcommittee on Human Rights. Welcome to both of you. We were potentially going to hear from Viktor Orbán this September the 18th in Strasbourg. He stayed at home because of the floods emergency, of course. Chloé Ridel, you, or rather your group, was hoping to question him on several key issues, wasn't it?
Yes, we wanted to question him to, you know, to tell him also what we think about the fact that he wants to destroy Europe from within. And if you ask my opinion on him coming to the European Parliament, I would say that the European Parliament is the heart of European democracy. And since Mr. Orbán doesn't have respect nor for democracy nor for Europe, we shouldn't receive him here.
You thought that he shouldn't be hosted at all?
Yes.
András László, your response to that?
We're not trying to destroy Europe from within. We're trying to make Europe great again. If you look at all the crises that Europe is facing, crisis in terms of energy, crisis in terms of inflation, crisis in terms of migration, crisis in terms of actual war or brutal war in our direct neighborhood, then what we see is that Europe is in a worse situation than it was 5 years ago. We want to make these things better. We want to put Europe on a solid path towards growth. That's why the presidency's main priority is competitiveness, is raising, is kickstarting again the European economy. Just like the report from Mr. Draghi, we want to put focus on competitiveness. But for competitiveness, for energy security, for prosperity in Europe, we need peace. And by the way, that is exactly the basic idea of European integration ever since the 1950s. What's shocking is that today European leaders are not even willing to engage in negotiations and diplomacy.
Let's take a listen to Prime Minister Orbán talking about that diplomatic mission that I mentioned. Let's take a listen to him.
The first question is communication. If there is no communication, the war is getting worse and worse. And if you don't initiate communication in a proper time, then the escalation is growing and it will be even more difficult.
Chloé Ridel, is Orbán's communication with these leaders that I mentioned, is it actually achieving anything?
Not at all. You know, of course we need dialogue. Of course we need communication. But we've been trying and trying dialogue with Vladimir Putin for 20 years. It never worked. He has always followed his own agenda of violence and imperialism. So what Mr. Orbán is doing now is breaking the unity of Europe in support of Ukraine, and we cannot accept that. And look at the result of its so-called peace mission, both in Russia and China. No result at all. And 2 days just after he went to Russia, Putin bombed an hospital in Kiev, destroying it all. So this was the response of Putin to the so-called mission, peace mission of Mr. Orbán. So what we need is to support the Ukrainians, as long as they want to resist. It's not for us to say when we are going to start any peace talks with Putin.
András László, no results from the peace mission, do you agree?
Of course there are results of the peace mission. Look at the German Chancellor's recent remark that Russia should be invited to the next peace conference within this year. If you look at the French Socialist President, François Hollande, in 2014, when there was a crisis in Ukraine, he and Angela Merkel, they were able to sit down with all parties. And they
yes,
were managed
they tried
to do,
dialogue
they
at that
managed,
time.
And
it didn't
worked
work.
For several, it worked for several years.
No, it didn't.
It brought peace for 8 years
because
in
Mr.
Ukraine.
Orban
it was
invaded
eight
Ukraine.
Years of peace. It's the fact that,
you're contradicting
that the weakness
yourself.
Of France and Germany puts them in a position and puts whole of Europe in a position where no one is listening to us. And if there will be peace negotiations sooner or later about Ukraine, it's going to be decided without Europe. The fate of Europe will be decided with no European leaders at the negotiating table. And that's going to be a tragedy.
Let's talk about migration. You mentioned that earlier in one of your remarks. In a tweet on September the 10th, Mr. Orban said, Germany has decided to impose strict border controls to stop illegal migration. Mm. Bundeskanzler Scholz, welcome to the club. Hashtag stop migration. Chloe Riedel, is Germany really part of the same club? Has it joined the same club? Or is it
not at all
different?
I don't think we can compare both. Orban has a totally irrational vision of migration, as if it was a tragedy or something ultimately bad. And he has actually a racist view of asylum you know, rights in Europe. It's not universal for him because he gives asylum to Ukrainians you know, going away from the war, but it doesn't give asylum to Syrian back in 2015, also fleeing from the war. So we cannot, this is not the European, you know, ideal. This is not the European history. We are a continent of the enlightenings, of the rule of law, of democracy. And I think that Orban betrays totally those values.
Selective reception of migrants based on where they're coming from or not?
No. Ukrainian refugees were let into Hungary from day one without any kind of limitations because they're a direct neighbor where there's a direct war going on.
Your colleague was talking about Syria, though, in that context.
Yeah, I'm coming to Syria.
Okay.
International law requires countries to provide safety for refugees arriving in the safe first country. Between Syria and Europe, there are several safe countries. There's no requirement for Europe to give asylum and protection to Syrians. If we want, we can help the countries which suffer from great number of refugees in other parts of the world, and that's fine, and Europe has done that, but that is not our obligation. Our obligation is first and foremost towards European citizens and their security. And defending Schengen borders is a no-brainer. It's common sense. It's not even an issue between left and right. If you look at now, today, socialists in Sweden, socialists now in Germany and in other countries, in Slovakia, they are all for stricter immigration rules and stopping the mass inflow of illegal immigrants because it leads to terrible and increasing number of crimes, violent crimes and terror attacks.
But wasn't this new
immediate link you do between a migrant and criminality is racism. I'm sorry to say that. If you will, I mean, all migrants don't kill, don't steal. The vast majority of them actually want to work and to integrate themselves. But you prevent them from doing so because you're doing everything you can to prevent us from welcoming them in a way that we should enable them to work and to, you know, build their lives with us. But migration is not equal to criminality. It's just the rational Orban tried to install, but it's not true, and we have to repeat that.
Well, I think it's pretty common sense. European citizens do link high criminality with mass immigration. It's a German federal crime data from last year that 41% of all crimes were committed by 15% of foreigners in Germany. I'm talking violent crimes. If we look at this agenda of the European Parliament on Monday, they linked, the European Parliament itself linked the Solingen terrorist attacks to the problem of illegal immigration because it was an asylum seeker who was rejected, who was ordered to be deported from Germany. The order was never executed, and there were several cases, such cases also in France. Of course it's linked. These people,
who committed terrorism,
were not even supposed to be here in Europe when they committed their crimes.
What you do is always the same. You talk about crimes only when they are committed by foreigners. But we are talking about all crimes. And in France, the far right is doing the same technique. When a foreigner commits a crime, they talk about it. When it's not a foreigner, they don't talk about it. But actually, there was criminality in our country, even when there was no migration, you know, there was even more violence. So the link you do, again, is not automatic, and it's just installing fear among people, fear of the others. And, you know, in the history of humanity, there has always been migrants and people fleeing their country, not because they want it, but because they cannot live in their country. And we, as a country, as Europe, we are not an island in the middle of an ocean. We live in a world, a common humanity, and we have to also, you know, we cannot ignore the consequences of hunger and war all around the world. We have to take our share, not more than our share, but our share.
Just on one final point, because we're running out of time, so last comments from you, Andres Laszlo. You mentioned this need to strengthen the external borders of Schengen. Isn't that one of the things that the new Pact on Asylum and Immigration is supposed to do?
No, it's trying to push for the same mandatory relocation quotas that have already failed in 2015 and 2017.
They already have, but it's also about processing asylum seekers at borders.
If you look at the deportation statistics, if you examine the asylum claims and you say that someone is not eligible for asylum in Europe, it's almost impossible to deport them. That's why we're talking about crime committed by foreign nationals. It's not necessarily because they are foreign nationals, because it's committed by a lot of people who are not even allowed to be here in Europe because they didn't get asylum. They tried the procedure, they didn't get asylum, they had deportation orders, but they're not being deported. That's a big, big problem, and it's a very legitimate concern of every European citizen.
Well, you're obviously not going to agree on that last point, but we'll have to end this particular episode here. Thank you so much to both of you, Andres Laszlo and Chloe Riedel. That's all for this edition of Talking Europe. Thanks for joining us.